In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
So, welcome to another episode of the Harmony Goal Podcast. As you know, those of you who have been listening know that we are interviewing people who are doing unselfish work in the world to make this a better and more harmonious place to be. And today we are really honored to have two fabulous folks here that I've known for many, many years, Dr. Bill Bissell and hygienist Patty Nelson. And I can vouch for them because I've been going to them for a long time, for at least 35 years now. So they've seen me through some different kinds of smiles and not smiles along the way. But one of the reasons I wanted to have Dr. Bill and Patty on the show is because they're doing what we have as our primary goal, demonstrating the fact that they are doing unselfish work out there. And I want them to tell us a little bit about what they're doing there in the world to help other people who maybe can't afford, cannot go to a dentist, or maybe have never even seen a dentist before in their life. So, Dr. Bill, how long have you been a dentist now?
Tom, I've been doing this since 1977.
Oh, my God. I was only 3 years old then.
I was the youngest boy in town.
The youngest boy in town. I love it. And how long have you been practicing here in Denver? Has it been all in Denver here?
1977, Tom. This office is the very first place that I started, and I look out the same windows today I did then.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's wonderful. And Patty, you've been with Dr. Bill. Most hygienists are around for 2, 3, 4 years. That's how long have you been with Dr. Bill now?
Well, I've been with Dr. Bissell for 39 years, going on 40 years.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's fun. There must be something right going on there. And that's one of the reasons I truly love going to the dentist. One of the problems is people say you walk away from the dentist with sore jaws. It's from the dentist. I'm walking away with sore jaws because I've been laughing and having a good time. So looking forward to sharing with the audience what we're here to talk about today. You folks volunteer your time, like I am just so totally impressed with helping and donating your time to help people who are indigent in areas like Guatemala, Costa Rica, Honduras, and so on. How did that program of helping people in other areas where they've just never even seen a dentist before, how did that program get started?
Well, Tom, in 1991, my Rotary Club started this project in South America. And we went to originally Guatemala to begin with. We had a micro-lending project that was going on down there. And so we would give money to start small family or woman-owned businesses. And we went down there in order to observe how our money was helping these women. And at the same time, we decided that since we were all dentists going down there, that we would also try to see if we couldn't help people from a dental standpoint. So that was 1991. Flash forward to 23. We're getting ready to leave to go to Honduras this Saturday. And this will be our 26th mission out of all those years.
Wow. And Patty, have you been there for all of those, or did you join in at a later time?
No, I started joining in with everyone around 2010.
Mm-hmm. So you've been at it now for 13 years. This is your 13th trip now?
Yes.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. When you think about going down to a place like that, What are your thoughts about, you know, leaving your comfort zone of your office that you've been in for so long and going down there? How did you go about thinking about getting involved in that? I mean, what I know you said that you want to offer your services, that sort of thing, but why there? Why would you want to go to a place where they don't even know what a dentist is, probably?
That's why. I mean, these people have a very spotty healthcare system in these countries. So many of them have never seen the likes of us before. Partly that, and it also allows us to kind of show our best foot forward with countries that may or may not think that the United States is as nice a place as it is. And so, you know, it's always been kind of important to me to be a kind of an ambassador, to be able to let people know that, you know, we are living in a big blue marble here and try to make life better for them also.
That's amazing. So since for them, for most of them, this is their first experience having somebody who's a professional dentist or hygienist there, what are some of the reactions you get from people who are having their first experience of somebody looking into their mouth and wanting to temporarily put them ill at ease and then send them off? What are some of the experiences you've had with some of the first timers?
You know, over the years, Tom, since they have never met the likes of us before, obviously, I won't use the word fear entirely, but, you know, we are kind of big people and they haven't had the experience. I've seen some really, really fast runners. I mean, those people can really move down there. But in all seriousness, they're
humbled.
They're very humbled. Yeah, they really do, you know. They know they need it and they can't get it. And so we show up and they're so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And even the children, you know, they're scared, but, you know, they are not going to pass up this moment to get the care, to not be in pain anymore. So they are as still as can be because this is their one and only chance.
And they realize that, they understand that when they're there in the chair.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. That is great. Well, you know, you talked about being in a chair. For our listeners, you can't see, but the picture we have in the background is actually your dental office. And there's a beautiful chair there that I know I've been in a few times. What kind of equipment do you have when you go down there as far as, you know, comfortable chairs or places for them to be, and how do you put them at ease? What's available to you when you get there?
You know, Tom, we've been doing it so many years. We bought our own equipment many years ago. So we transport the dental equipment that hooks up, that does all of the work to air supplies, compressors, in these places that we work. So when we leave this coming week, we're going to be carrying basically 18 ice chests full and boxes that contain our units onto the airplane, and then we offload them there. We set up in a clinic. Sometimes it can be a little bit rough. We were in a school many times. We were
in the jungle, or you had to climb
stairs
uphill.
This time we're actually being hosted by the Clinica Esperanza, which is a medical nonprofit. It is in Honduras, and they have an honest to God medical clinic. So this would be kind of a great trip for us because we're used to working in gyms and hot places. And so this one's going to be a real healthcare clinic.
Wow. So that it's almost like a luxury for you down there.
This is going to be a very easy trip compared to some of them. None of them are easy. It's still, you know,
all of us are going to be in the clinic.
Yes, we are.
But we won't be with dental chairs.
So in times past, we've worked on gurneys, we've worked on lawn chairs, we've worked on recliners, we've worked in a lot of really convoluted and contortionist positions because of it. This year, we're going to have two real honest-to-God operatory dental chairs and things, and then the rest of them we're going to be working on, you know, again, back to recliners. They do have two portable chairs, so this year is going to be kind of a hybrid. So people who have bad backs, they get the good stuff.
So when you were working those other areas with those chairs and gurneys and that sort of thing, what's that like for you to spend hours and hours, you know, working in an environment that is not your normal type of environment there?
Painful.
Yeah. It didn't used to be so bad.
The older we're getting, the harder it is.
Yeah.
It's not normal. Let's put it that way. I mean, you know, you have to bend and curve in ways that we normally don't here in our regular operatories.
Mm-hmm. And what about all sterility you have to go through? In other words, getting all your equipment, everything sterile. Are there problems with that in those environments?
Go ahead.
No, not at all, because we bring all of our own equipment to sterilize each and every instrument, along with chemicals that we can wipe down the lounge chairs or whatever we're seeing the patients in. So we supply everything going down there that we would normally need here in our operatory to make it safe for our patients here to walk in. We want to make it safe for the patients down in Honduras to also walk in and it be in a sterile environment.
Now, I bet the airline loves to see you when you show up with all that equipment.
You know, they are kind of used to this stuff, at least in the United States, because we're not the only people that do these things. And Denver is being a major, you know, hub. When you get down there, they have considerably less experience at seeing, you know, mm-hmm. all of this. And there are times when I won't say they wanted to confiscate things, but they would like to find out what you're doing. They want to make sure you're not selling stuff. And so, you know, you have to fill out some paperwork. You have to get public, or you have to get information from the government. We have letters of introduction that have been printed up that allow us to clear customs with a minimum of problems, because we're just not the regular tourists. I mean, we're there to work. And so we've done this long enough that we're able to know kind of how all of these governments deal with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have any interesting stories about, you know, like, when you're working with some, especially, I would have imagined the littler people, the children, would probably have some interesting stories about working with them and what it's like to see their reaction and that sort of thing. What are some of your favorite, if you go back in history, what's some of your favorite stories of successes you've had or interesting, cute little things that might have happened or whatever?
When this was at the school a couple of years ago, and two things kind of come to mind when you ask that question. One of them was this little boy came in and he had his mother with him, and he was just not happy with the idea that we were going to help him. And he was going to be very, very closed mouth, shall we say. Anyway, Mama looked at him and in a very, very forceful Spanish way said, "If you don't open your mouth, I'm not going to feed you for another 20 years. And the kid basically was forced in order to, you know, to make his mother happy. And it was, the interaction was just perfect. I mean, it was just mom and son at their best. And then on the same trip, we had, we would, treating kids from kindergarten to high school age. And we had a little boy, he was probably about 9,
And he was obviously the Lothario, the hot kid in the class with all the girlfriends. And he came in and he was just full of bravado. And the minute he sat down, it was like completely erased. It took him completely down to being with the rest of the kids. And the kids loved to see him, you know, not being quite so, such a big deal. And
he was humbled.
he was humbled. We do bring these kids not only some health things, but we also try to deal with making them better people.
I love it. Patty, do you have any favorite story?
First of all, I mean, we bring down these little beanie babies. And so after the dental appointment and everything, every one of these kids get a little beanie baby that has a name. And Robert, one of the gentlemen that goes down there with us, he has had them all donated. And so he kind of picks them out. It's his little thing to give to each individual person. Well, we were reaching the very last hours, the very last days of our clinic. And so we were running very, very low on our beanie babies. In fact, we were completely out. And I was working on this one little boy, and he was so disappointed that he did not get a beanie baby. But one of the other children that had came up and gave him his beanie baby. And this little boy's smile and his joy and everything. It was just, these kids are humbled. They're true to form. I mean, they don't know what the outside world looks like. They only know what their world looks like. And we wake up every day, go into the clinic, and they are all over all of us. They are hugging us and kissing us and welcoming us. And to me, that's just the best story every time I go down there that I get, that they're just, they embrace you so much that you're just full of love.
I love it. And did you tell me that one time you went down there and the next year the kid still had his beanie baby from the previous year?
Oh, yeah. And we actually see some of the kids, the same kids. And believe me, they remember you, and they just run up to you. And, you know, you're just hoping that you get their name right, because you're like, Maria, yes. And so yeah, it's truly a blessing to be a part of it.
What about, did you find any problems with language barriers? Do you have to have interpreters with you? Most of them speak English, or what do you have to do language wise?
You know, we've been blessed to have one of our members was an exchange student in Chile when he was in high school. And so he's a bilingual, he's a Spanish speaker. One of the gals who goes down with us, because of going and doing these missions, went and took Spanish. And she's bilingual now also. Mm-hmm. We've had a Peace Corps worker from up in Vail. And Jerry was in Bolivia back in the 60s. And he's come with us a lot over the years. He's also bilingual. So between, the people that are with us, because most of them, there are very few English speakers there. So, and we have some rudimentary dental Spanish that we know. So we can ask them the pertinent things and find out what they need.
Oh, that's great. That is wonderful. So when you think about dealing with that, with the different language and that sort of thing, and working with them, so they still have that same level of trust with you if you can't really just converse with the child while they're in the chair or the parents. So
we usually wait until we can get someone that can interpret for us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And so, you know, if if I'm not going to just go in blind to someone and everything. I want that person to know what we're doing. And so there's people floating around doing that. Robert floats around and makes sure that the conversations are a two-way and they understand.
Mm-hmm. And last year, my dental assistant is bilingual, and she went down for the first time with me last year. So I have a dedicated Spanish speaker. Plus, we work together in the office on a day-to-day basis. So she kind of really made it a whole lot easier for me to be able to deal with what we do down there.
Right. Well, one of the things we'd like to encourage people, our listeners, is to realize that when you are doing wonderful, unselfish work like that, that it comes back to you. What do you get out of being there? When you stop and think about when you're on your way home and you just think back at the experience you had with those people who don't have a dentist on their corner, what's that like for you? What's your gut feeling? What's happening with you inside?
Well, for me, I just feel really blessed that I had a beautiful upbringing as a child. And I have a career. I have a husband and children of my own. And so being able to give back something that I've been gifted and that I have education for, it's such a warm, humbling feeling that I feel so good about myself and that we've been able to help others. I hope I've taught my children that giving back is a very important thing in the world. And I just love doing it.
That's great. Dr. Bill?
Everybody should give back. I don't care. We all have gifts. Ours is doing what we do for a living. But I think it's one of those things that we all need to be able to help somebody that can't help themselves. No matter what it is, and devote at least a small portion of your life, to being a servant, because it's just the right thing to do.
That's fabulous. That's wonderful. That's the message we want to get out there to the world, is that it's not that hard to do something wonderful for another person, and it comes back multiplied, in your heart. That's great. So how do you go about funding this?
Well, Tom, we've been lucky over the years to be self-funded. We do fundraising through our Rotary Club, Denver Cherry Creek in Denver. We get money from other clubs in our district. Mm-hmm. We get money from our club. We get money from a private foundation that I'm a member of, that's a Dental Honor Society. We get money from anybody that would like to help, fund us. Our budgets run right around $15,000 to $20,000 because it takes a fair amount of logistical stuff to get 15 or 20 boxes of dental supplies on an airplane. Mm. It takes obviously getting us on an airplane. This year we're all kind of paying for our own airfare, so we're trying to keep some of the cost of fundraising so we can devote it to the people and buying supplies and seeing more people rather than getting us down there. So this year we're all kind of we're buying our own airfare this year for the first time. The clubs that are in our district have been very gracious in order to keep this project going for all these years. So it's one of those things that we're good at it. We know how to ask.
Oh, that's great. And they know how to answer, which is the best part.
As long as they don't turn around and walk away. I think, as Rotarians, we're a giving group anyway, so.
Yeah, and do you come back and give them a presentation with pictures and anything like that? So they can see?
We do, and I'll be happy to get you when we get this done. We have a nice PowerPoint that we do for all of these trips. And along with that, we, in partnership, they give us money. They also have programs that they want to fund. And so then they ask us also. So there is some quid pro quo in these deals. Again, everything is devoted to making people better. And so it's just kind of the way that we do things.
That's fabulous. I want to think back in a typical trip. How many people do you get to see and help on a typical trip down there? Do you have any idea of, on a typical trip, how many people can you help?
It's pretty close to 500.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we work for 5 days when we go down there. You know, between travel days and setup days, that's about the kind of time that we have. We're down there this year for 9 days. And we try to see 75 to 100 people a day. We're staffed with Patty and two other hygienists this year. We've got three doctors going down. They also had this clinic we're going to be working in, may very well have a full-time staff member to help us also. So, you know, between 7 or 8 professionals, we can work a pretty fast schedule.
Wow, that's mind-boggling. 500 people, and that is, wow. That's warms my heart. I appreciate that. And what do you see as your future involvement in this? Where do you see this going from here? Just continue on? Do you see it growing? And again, funding is probably going to be one of your biggest issues there, but what do you see happening?
The project's taken on legs over the years. It started out with two dentists and one person. Now we're up to 10 to 12 people when we go down there and do things. So there's been a growth curve over the years anyway. The future, depending upon how the clinic that we're working at, Clinic Esperanza, is a nonprofit, and kind of depending on how their funding goes, is going to kind of determine how we deal and going back there. We've been to 13 different countries, I want to say, over the years. So if it would not continue in Honduras and Roatan, we have plenty of places to go. There's no lack of people needing us in the world.
Really? Wow. You're setting a beautiful example for other people, too. That's fabulous. I love it. So if somebody wanted to help fund this, is the best thing for them to do to go to like the Rotary clubs and that sort of thing? Can they say, if I want to make a donation and went to the Rotary Club, can I say I want this donation to be dedicated to your project, or is it just the Rotary Club takes their funds and whatever they can afford they give you? I don't know how that works.
You know, so we have our own foundation. It's called the Denver Cherry Creek Rotary Foundation. It's separate from our club, and it's a 501c3, so it's a nonprofit. Anytime that somebody would want to send money to help us, we certainly be gladly accepting of it. I do have a P.O. box, although I will have to give it to you after we're done here. Okay, in order to have people that would want to do that, and I certainly can do that for you.
Okay, say it slowly one more time. What was the name of that organization that they could donate directly to?
Denver Cherry Creek Rotary Foundation.
And is that like a .org?
No, it's going to be... Well, that's a good question, Tom, and I don't have an answer. I'm not very good with computers, so
they can also just email us here at the office.
Okay.
With what they're wanting to do, and Dr. Bissell or myself can easily get in contact with them and direct them to the right place at the Rotary at Cherry Creek.
Okay, and they go to that by the Bissell Dental Group, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, it's info at BisselDentalGroup.com.
Okay, and Bissell is B-I-S-S-E-L-L.
That's me, just like the vacuum.
Just like the vacuum. I love it. And if while they're there, they could also make an appointment for a dental cleaning, any kind of dental work that they need.
That is correct, Tom.
Because I can tell you, 35 years of going there, I truly, truly look forward to going to the office, because not only do I get the service that I need, but I get to smile and laugh a lot. So it is one of the friendliest places I've ever been.
Well, thanks. We love it, you know, and Dr. Bissell and I like working with each other, and it's just always been a fun daily atmosphere here.
That's great. Well, I can vouch for that.
We also, Tom, appreciate what you're doing here. You know, that's something that, you know, I think is critical to let people know, and your communication skills are so good that, you know, being taken on the mantle of doing this is a great thing too. So thank you.
I truly appreciate it. And thank you both for being here. And
thank you, Tom.
The work you're doing is just amazing, because I can't imagine never having seen a dentist in my life. And you are doing amazing work, and you are truly changing the world. And I always tell people, you change the world one smile at a time. And if they've got great teeth, that smile is even prettier. So, but that thank you so much great. For being here. Is it the Bissell Dental Group, or is it just Bissell Dental Group?
It's just Bissell Dental Group, all one word, .com
or okay.
info@BisselDentalGroup.com.
Okay. Send something there, because you are helping some people that you will never see in your life, but you will know in your heart that somebody's smiling. So thank you so much for being here and taking your time, because I know you got a busy day today. So
thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
And for the rest of you, tune in next week for another episode of the Harmony Goal. .com is our website. Go there and visit, and you could subscribe. You could donate to keep us on the air too. So we're going to ask you for lots of donations. So keep us on the air with a donation, and let us know how we're doing. And because we like to highlight and put the spotlight on people that are doing unselfish work in the world to make this a better place. And Dr. Bissell and Patty, you are definitely doing that. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal Podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.